washing, he's cleansing, he's changing us. But then it comes to a point of sin in our lives that we're in love with. An attitude within our life that we're in love with. This is why the culture is so dangerous. Because we fall in love with the culture. And the culture is a downward spiral leading you to damnation. And yet, but we fall in love with it. And so then when the Lord begins to pull us out, we look for every kind of excuse that we can continue to embrace the culture and still say, but I love Jesus. Come on, it's quiet in here. When the demonic, the absolutely evil demonic genre of music, rap music, came out, and you have to admit it's evil, just listen to the lyrics. You don't have to have a college degree. Listen to the lyrics and you'll realize, man, that is ungodly. But then we get saved, we'll say, but I'm listening to Christian rap. See, we don't want to depart all the way from it. We want to bring some of it with us. He said that the salve that was washed, she returns to the wallowing in the mire. Now, when Peter wrote this, he wasn't just calling people dogs and sows. He wasn't doing that. Why does the dog return to the vomit? Why does the sow return to the mud hole? Because it's in their nature. And you and I were born into this world with a sin nature. And as God tries to take us out, he's trying to clean us up. Sometimes we want to return to our nature, to those ungodly things. And in the meantime, we say, well, I've accepted Jesus Christ, so I'm clean in my own eyes. But nevertheless, we've not been washed from our filthiness. Now, I will be the first to admit, it's not always pleasant. It's not always pleasant. Because God will touch areas of your life that you don't want him to really deal with. Can you just deal with the other areas? I mean, when he got me off of dope, I'm like, praise the Lord. Man, I was trying to get off the whole time. You know, when he stopped me from womanizing and from running the streets, I'm like, man, praise the Lord, because I was tired. I was worn out. But then he says, that frustration that's in you that presents itself as anger, we got to deal with that. Well, I kind of like that. I kind of liked it because it made me think like everybody else is like kind of dumb. I'm the only one fast enough and I'm frustrated with them because they're dumb. God said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's got to go. That's got to go. And let me tell you, if you're gifted in any area of your life and you're frustrated because the gifts you exceed in areas of other people, your attitude is wrong because you're gifted to support other people. Your gift is to lift other people up. It's not to lord over other people and glory in your gift. But we're expert at cleaning the outside and not really dealing with the inside. We're expert, like we're all at church today. Look how wonderful we all look. If you went around and smelled, all of us got nice cologne and perfume on. We look wonderful. We look good. We look like angels. The outside of the cup and the platter has been all cleaned up, but yet the inside. How many can just admit, I can sometimes carry some stupid stuff on the inside? That's the first step right there. I can sometimes be, my brokenness can sometimes show itself. And the only way that's going to stop is if I let the Lord begin to cleanse me of that brokenness and heal me in those areas. You know why you fight with your spouse? Do you know why you have arguments in your house? So I'm saying, yeah, it's because of my spouse. That proves it's you. You're looking for a scapegoat. You're looking for somebody else. But all of us, we need to say, it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one that needs help. Say, but my wife's not perfect. Yeah, but you can't help her. My husband's not perfect. You can't help him. But you can cry out for God to help you. You know, my wife is a very unique individual. You're not going to find another one like her. Very unique. And your spouse is just as unique. And I married her because she was who she was. And so when I confront an area of her uniqueness that rubs me contrary, It's not for me to change who she is. I have to learn to deal with the person that I fell in love with. It's on me. And so that means there's something inside of me that has to change because I can't change her. And even if I told her what the issue was and she said, I'll change myself, she has no power to do so. So I have to learn how to love this uniqueness that presents in her life. And Satan says, it looks like it's impossible. When you first start, it's like, oh God. But God changes you. He changes you when suddenly that uniqueness about them that used to drive you crazy, yeah, that's my baby, that's who I love, is that uniqueness. But cleaning the outside of the cup and the platter, that's not good enough for God. It's simply not good enough. We find a scenario in Mark chapter 23. I begin reading with verse 25. Jesus is speaking here, and he's speaking to church folks. He's speaking to professional church people that are really the leadership of the religion of that day. And here's what he says. He cuts no corners. He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Now again, these were not sinners. These were not people who didn't know the book. They were religious people. And Jesus says, no, woe unto you because you're hypocrites. And what is he saying there? He's saying, you've cleaned up outside. You present yourself as religious authorities, but inside of the cup, it's still nasty in there. And put yourself in God's position. Let's just say you haven't done the dishes in your house for a couple days. You know, sometimes it can be like that. You're busy. It's not a lot of dishes, but they've been there a couple days. And you need a drink of water, and you pull a cup out of the sink, and it's got some dried noodles in it. You don't use that one, do you? Why do you think God would use you when you got that kind of mess in you? See, he can pick a different cup too. And so here's what he's saying. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion, excess, hypocrisy, and iniquity. See, it's a shame when you have Christians come to church, driving the same car to church, came from the same house, sit in church, worship the Lord, get back into the same house, go back into the same car, go back to the same house, jump in bed, and not even married. That's called fornication. Yes, this is holiness today. See, all these kind of things have to be moved out of our life. I know the culture says it's okay. I know the culture embraces it, but you and I are not the culture. We are members of the kingdom of God, and we're held to a higher standard. And so Jesus told those that had all of this iniquity on the inside, presenting themselves cleanly on the outside, he said, no. He goes on to say, you clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. He said, you're blind. He tells them, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, so that the outside of them may be clean also. In other words, the cup that you pulled out of the sink, when you looked at it on the outside, it looks pretty good. It's totally clean. But then when you turned it and looked on the inside, you said, oh, Lord, I can't use this. It's nasty. And see, sometimes we present very cleanly on the outside. But inwardly, I'm not talking about smoking and drinking and sexing. I'm talking about that, but not only that. I'm talking about the attitudes of our heart. Well, don't nobody talk to me that way. Well, they talk to Jesus that way. And how did Jesus respond? They talk to Paul that way. And you and I, if we just take this half step, got one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot back in the world, and we're straddling the fence, and we can't go through any kind of a trial, because whenever something presses us, we recoil back to the old nature. We go back to the vomit, back to the waddling in the mire. And 2 days later, we repent and we show up at church again. Praise the Lord. And we go through that vicious cycle up and down. And you're not going to be straight today because you heard this message, but it will put you on a path that if you will cooperate with the Holy Spirit, oh, he'll cleanse the inside as well as the outside. And if we're honest with ourselves, and I hope you will be, you'd have to admit, I have potential for great evil. Yeah, I can do some things that are not quite kosher. And if I slack off just a little bit and not let the Holy Spirit have his way, like the dog to the vomit, you know, you may look at me and say, yeah, but you're the preacher. No, I'm one of you. That's why I know what we all go through. That we have these pockets in our lives. Oh, holiness in 80% of our life, well, there can be these pockets in our life that we just haven't let the Lord have that thing. And I'll be honest with you, many times that can be in the area of our sexuality. Yeah, if he can get a hold of that in your life, yeah, he got you. Because that's a chemical, it's a chemical addiction that we have. And if he can straighten you out in that area, you can almost conquer any other area of your life. In Matthew, we see another display of this. I've got to rush here. Matthew chapter 27, 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Now, what was he doing? He knew that Jesus was innocent, but he wasn't strong enough to stand up to the crowd. And so he is about to give the decree, let this innocent man be crucified. So what he did in front of all the people, he had a basin of water brought out and he washed his hands. But I want you to know that water can't wash the stain of sin off our lives. No, the stain is too deep. You ever have a dirty garment, throw it in the wash and it comes out dirty? The stain was too deep. And the stain of sin is too deep that water doesn't wash it off. And what he wanted to do was just have a good showing with his fellow man, as though I've done the right thing. I've resolved this of myself of this situation. But God yet held him accountable. And he holds you and I accountable. Nothing can cleanse us but the blood. And here's the deal that you and I have. Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross to pay the sin death so that the Holy Spirit, who is God, would have access to your heart and life, full access to your life. And what the Holy Spirit does when he comes in, he's the one that begins to cleanse you. If you notice when you first got saved, those first days, for most of us, he stopped the doping and the smoking and the drinking and the sexing. He stopped a bunch of that big stuff. You just recoil from it. But that doesn't end the cleansing. The Holy Spirit continues to get the attitude, the pride, the ego, the attitude out of our lives. You can't be like Jesus with all of that stuff still in you. It's impossible. Because that stuff is of the satanic nature and you've been made a partaker of the divine nature. And he wants you to be fully developed until we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we're no more children. Jesus one time tried to clean his disciples' feet. John 13, 5 says, after that, Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And he cometh to Simon Peter. Now realize, Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was a man that had made great strides, many rebukes, but great strides in as far as becoming what he ultimately became. He cometh to Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. I'm not having it. And see, that's how you and I sometimes do. Those little errors of our lives, sometimes nobody knows about that little error of your life except you. And Peter said, you are not washing that part of me. I'm not having it. And although we may not come out and say it like Peter, our actions say it. I'm not interested in that. But here's what Jesus replied back to him. If I wash you not, you have no part with me. In other words, this inward spiritual cleansing that the Holy Spirit is wanting to apply to our lives, it is a requirement. It's not optional. We have to let the Holy Spirit do this. And the best way, here's what I found, 40 years walking with the Lord, here's the best way, just go ahead and admit it. Yep, God, you got me on this. This is my issue. And Lord, I submit. And if you will walk with me and hold my hand and lead me out of this weirdness that I'm in, I will follow you out. And it may take time, but you don't give up. You don't give in. You just keep walking. I've got this weird thing going on in my head. And God, little by little, he'll walk you out until that thing was like it never existed. I was a bad drug addict, Struggled for years, even as a Christian, with drugs. I didn't struggle because of the addiction was so strong, although it was addiction. I struggled because I liked it. Let that sink in. I struggled with my secret sin because I liked it. And God had to teach me how to fall out of love with it and to walk away from it. And now it's so distanced from me, it's like a dream that I had a long time ago. It's no part of my life whatsoever. It doesn't always come easy. But again, Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. We have to let Jesus do this. You know where the dirt is, right? Huh? You know where the dirt is. Come on, I know where the dirt is. The spiritual is just like the natural. You go to take a shower, you know the dirt's between your toes. That's where it hides. In our spiritual lives, we know where the dirt is at. Amen. And we have to let him do what he does. David was about 50 years old when he had his romp with Bathsheba. 50. Get this. He had been in love and following the ways of God since he was a ruddy youth. As a child, he killed the lion and the bear by the power of God before he killed Goliath. All through his life, he walked with God. God even called David a man after God's own heart. But at 50 years old, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then to cover that sin up, he killed her husband, Uriah the Hittite. He murdered him, cold-blooded murder. And when Nathan the prophet came to him to show him where the dirt was, he knew where it was. He knew he was wrong. He knew the ways of God. But he didn't want to be dealt with in that area, and so he hid it. Some say up to 18 months he didn't deal with it. Till God finally said, Nathan, go to David's door and put your finger on his nose and tell him you the man. Which Nathan did. And David's heart, this should be your and my heart, was such that he wrote in Psalms 51. He wrote this psalm because Nathan came to his house and convicted him. Verse 2, he wrote to the Lord, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. That should be our hearts right there. I want to be cleansed. I want to be washed. I'm not resisting. He says, because I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. I can't forget what I've done. Verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He said, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was the plant they used at the original Passover. They would dip it in the blood, and they struck the door of the post of the door with the blood so the death angel would go over. He's saying, wash me with hyssop. Cover me in the blood is what he was saying. And saints, that's the same prayer you and I should have over our sin now. And I shall be clean, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10, create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here's what the Lord is saying to all of us today. I'm going to just ask a question first. How many know where the dirt is? All of us got it. I got it too. It's not just you. Here's what God is saying. And I love this scripture, and I always try to demonstrate this. God is saying, come, sit. Let us reason together. Though your sin be red as scarlet, he said, I'll make it white as snow. Though it be red like crimson, I'll make it white as wool. He's given us the promise that if we just come to him, just admit it. Just admit it. You don't even have to admit it to me or anybody else. Just tell God, Lord, I'm dirty. I've got dirtiness on the inside. And I don't want to stay this way. I want to be cleansed. And God, little by little, begin to work in that area. And sometimes you'll say, hey, I'm dirty right here. And I need this part clean. But God knows you're dirty right here because you got dirt up in here. And so he won't deal with this right away. He's dealing with this because if he fixes this, this goes away. Are you with me? And he's given us all the opportunity today that if we just come to him, if we just admit, Lord, I'm not right. I'm not pure in my own eyes. I want to be cleansed from my iniquity. Then he'll do it. Would you bow your heads all over the room this morning? Father, we just thank you so much for your love, your long suffering, your forbearance. God, how that you never condemn us for our shortcomings. You never condemn us for our brokenness, but you always offer us hope, and we thank you for that today. So, Lord, we come to you, Lord, acknowledging all of our transgression, acknowledging, Lord, all of our iniquity, our brokenness, Lord, those secret pockets of our lives that no one sees, we present over the top of it. We welcome you to come into that area of our life. Cleanse the secret sin out of the back rooms of our heart. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet? You've already said you know that there's some dirt there. Just present that to God right now. Say, Lord, I give this to you. I ask you to come into this area of my life. Lord, I'm broken. I'm struggling. I'm not making it as I want to. But I know that you're the answer. And so I open my heart to you now. I open my life to you now. And I ask you to come in. Lord, my sin is red as crimson. Would you make it white as wool? My sin is red like scarlet. Would you make it whiter than snow? Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Just reach out.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we need you, Lord. Give us the strength to surrender it all to you, Father, knowing that you are the only one that can clean us, Lord God, and that can make us whole. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for what you are going to continue to do in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I needed that this morning. Hallelujah. And I thank Pastor for his dedication, for his faithfulness to the Lord. Amen. So good to see all of you here. If you haven't had an opportunity to give, please do so. And when you give, please remember the Pakistan Solar Project. We're a blessing so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen. We are blessed so we can be a blessing to others. Amen. And another announcement, there are Thanksgiving baskets available for you or your family member. The holiday is coming up. So if you know someone that needs food, we are donating that through, they can apply through the website under outreach and community assistance, or you can see Sister Boyd or Sister Amelia. Amen. Sorry. So good again to see all of you here. I hope that you were blessed today. I was, and just pray God's blessings over you throughout the rest of this week, and you are dismissed. Amen.